So let's open up our Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. This morning, the message was about hell. The whole concept of just being serious and sober-minded about eternity. To recognize that one day we will be forever with the Lord if we're saved, and if you're not saved, you'll be forever without the Lord and lost. And if you're saved, but you know that there are friends and family and co-workers that are on their way to hell, to focus and to wake you up and to help you to remember to think of them as individuals that are headed somewhere for eternity. With that in mind, we go to Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's pray and we'll go on tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet together and to open your word. Help us to hear from your word tonight and that we can understand the value of one and how important each individual is to you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. To him, every soul is valuable. I want to just say, in case I don't say it later on in a week or two, how thankful I am for people who put time in for the children that we have had this year in Anchor Club. Mr. Pryor comes early to cook the meal. Miss Wilma cooks the meal, buys the groceries. Mr. Bruner comes early and gets in the van and gets it started. Then Mr. Adams did get in the van and started up and gets here at 3 o'clock to get it going and drive the van, pick up young people. And, you know, sometimes young people can really disappoint you. Sometimes they can let you down. Sometimes they're obnoxious. I spent quite a bit of time yesterday. It was our turn to clean the church and so clean this building, this side of the building. So I spent some time in here cutting all of the frayed edges off of these brown cheap chairs that we got in here. And I know that the ones closer to the front are more beat up than any of them because they're the ones where the kids sit on Wednesday night. And there was one rack right where Mr. Pryor's sitting. The whole rack was torn off and laying underneath the chair. I don't know what he was doing, but and there's always, you know, there's always fingerprints somewhere. And once in a while, I'd go into the bathroom stalls and I'd find the stalls locked. And some little goober, and I caught the goober, but some little goober would lock all the bathroom stalls and then crawl out from underneath. Ha ha ha! That's funny. And you put up with a lot of that, and you find all kinds of interesting bacterial objects in the van, smashed into the carpet and into the seats, and on we could go. But you know, a few weeks ago, one of our former Anchor Clubbers led one of the girls that was here a few weeks ago to the Lord, and then a week later, she talked more about her salvation, and that little girl just started coming because her mom moved to the area because of a boyfriend situation. I never even met the mom yet. I hope too soon. But that little girl is trying so hard to get her book done because she wants to go to Flags and Wheels. And she's working hard on it and been very. And the best part is that when we tell a story and we ask questions, that same little girl is answering all the questions, listening. You know, the world doesn't see those people as valuable. We were talking politics a minute ago. You know, and there's a lot of movers and shakers and important people that you pay attention to. But, you know, children just don't seem to be that valuable to a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're valuable to God. And it's not just children. It's every human being. It's every age group that's valuable to the Lord. Dan's got a friend who has cancer and could be dying soon. That friend got saved at Vacation Bible School when he was a child. That's a comfort by itself. See, here's what I know. Kids grow up, and they don't look valuable when they're snotty-nosed and 3 or 4 years old, but they are valuable, and they're valuable to God. Now, every soul is valuable. Let me just show you how valuable. You know, the way you tell if something is valuable is not necessarily the price tag on it, but the actual value paid for it. You know, when they're determining the value of your home, it's what the prices of the home around you or your home sold for recently or the homes next to you sold for recently to try to determine the value. We won't get into that right now. I know that rubs people the wrong way talking about that stuff right now. But anyhow, the value of something is what is actually worth. I mean, you can put any kind of price tag on something, but what provable evidence of how much something was paid for? In other words, did someone ever pay that much for that? Yes or no? For instance, someone said that Bitcoin is worth something. Let me tell you how much Bitcoin is worth to me. Zero. I mean, I'm not saying it ain't worth something to somebody. I'm just telling you right now, for me, it's zero. And there's this baseball card out there, and I don't even know the name of the guy. I mean, he lived like in the 1902s or something like that. And it's supposed to be worth all. It's not worth that much to me. It's just a piece of paper with a picture on it. But it's worth something like, worth that to somebody. But can I show you how valuable a soul is? Can I show you how valuable people are? Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know how valuable every human being is? He was paid for by the blood of Christ. The blood is the life. If someone pays with their life, that's a valuable statement right there. That's a statement of value you can't deny. The Bible says in Acts 20:28 that he purchased the church with his own blood. The people are the church. And so they're so valuable to Christ that he redeemed them with his own blood, his life. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want any of the grain to fall to the ground. That isn't what he desires. The Bible tells us that he's not willing, that he doesn't want that, but it does happen, we know. But that's not his desire. He thinks of every human being as valuable. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, at the end of verse 9, it says that he tasted death for every man. Christ died for every man. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, let's turn there. Titus chapter 2. I got to get there myself. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to a lot of men. That's not what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God is for all men. He tasted death for every man. He's not willing that any should perish. He gave his life for the world. He gave his blood for all mankind. And he has redeemed man with the precious blood of Christ. We are able to be redeemed, and we are paid for if we'll acknowledge it. And of course, the classic verse that proves all that is John 3:16. For God so loved the elect. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That if the elect, that's not what it says. It says that whosoever, and whosoever is just like saying whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To him, every soul is valuable. It hurts him more than anybody. It can hurt you if you have a loved one that dies and goes to hell, but it hurts him more than anyone when someone dies and goes to hell because he paid for them to not have to go. And the value of one is strong. It's great. And so point number two, every soul is valuable, and how valuable? He looks for the treasure that to others look like trash. Isn't that a blessing? To others, it looks like trash. Look at Matthew chapter 13. We'll just look at some verses tonight. Matthew chapter 13 concerning treasure. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Jesus likens this to a short parable, one verse. In verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. For God so loved the world, the field, that he gave his only begotten Son all that he hath. Why? Because in that field is a treasure. You want that field? What do you want that field for? It doesn't have... that field's not going to do a whole lot of good. But in that field, there's a treasure. And I'm willing to buy the whole field. We know that not the whole world will go to heaven. We know that. But he bought the whole world anyway. He paid for the whole world. He tasted death for every man. We know not every man's going to heaven. We know. But he paid for everyone anyway. Why? Because he looks for the treasure where others just see the trash. If you're humble enough to say this and admit this, you were trash until God saved you. You might say, come on. Now, hold on a second. Anybody who goes to hell is trash. Because once you're in hell, you're trash. You're a lost cause. And so if he saved you, he made you not trash. He changed your value right then and there. And he looks for treasure that to others looked like trash. Of course, when I say that, I have to go to John chapter 4. Because in John chapter 4, it says that as Jesus and his disciples were traveling, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, Samaria, according to the Jews, was trash. That's where all the half-breeds are. You don't want to go up there. They would routinely walk clear around Samaria so that they didn't have to travel through Samaria. So when it says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria, that's saying something. He's willing to walk through the trash. Verse 5, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and there, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which would be 12 noon. It would be high noon for us. 6 hour of daylight. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. It's not normal to go out and draw water in the heat, hottest part of the day. Women would go in the morning or in the evening when it was cooler. And he must needs go through Samaria, and he timed it so that he'd be sitting at a well at high noon. Why? Because he knew that there was a woman out there that would go when none of the other ladies were around. And she'd show up at high noon because she could be all by herself and not have to put up with the remarks and the sideways glances and the gossip and all that garbage. And she'd get her water. Why? Well, if you keep reading, because you find out what kind of a lady she was. Not much. And he starts a conversation with her, which shocks her because she knows he's a Jew. She can tell. And she's shocked that this Jew is talking to her. And she even says, well, I can't believe that you as a Jew would talk to me. I'm a Samaritan. And he starts to talk about water. And he obviously is talking about spiritual living water. And of course, she's thinking physical until he turns the conversation. And he says in verse 16, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. I just wish I could be there. I want to, when I get to heaven, I want to watch that on DVD. I want to see that. I want to see that whole, I just want to see her staring at him. You know, because he knows all about, now, he knows all about her, He says, yeah, you're right. That is correct. You don't have a husband. But you've had five. And the man you're with now is not your husband. I mean, I don't want to be too hard on this lady. But if a lady has five different husbands and is now on guy number six, either she's just a really bad cook or she's got some other issue going on, but something's wrong. And I don't know exactly what all she was thinking. However, I can't help but think that she was thinking to herself, this guy is talking to me on purpose. This guy knew I was going to be here. This guy knows who I am and knows what I've done and where I've been. And yet, he's talking to me. Because he sees treasure that looks like trash to everybody else. Isn't that awesome? The value of one. You know, if you keep reading the story, she gets saved, and you keep reading the story, you know what she did? She became a soul winner. She left her water pots. The original intent of going out there was to get water. She left her water pots because she found something better, just like he told her she would. She left her water pots, ran back into the city, and started telling people about him. That's a soul winner. And God used a lady, that's using the word loosely, used this woman to reach her town because he changed her. He saw treasure where other people saw trash. And they knew something's got a hold of her. Something's happened to her. Isn't that awesome? The value of one. Can I just stop here and say that be real careful about who you've decided is just a lost cause and Custer? I'm not saying endorse their sin or overlook it or pet it. But never underestimate what God can do. Never underestimate what kind of treasure God can make out of trash. Recognize that if the quote-unquote worst sinner in Custer County got saved, do you know what that would do to Custer County? Do you know the impact it would have? I believe in being honest and straightforward, but at the same time, we have to be compassionate and gracious and recognize that those people can still get saved if God has grace in their life and they'll be honest with Him. He sees treasure that to others look like trash. In Luke chapter number 18, he talks about the publican and the Pharisee in Luke 18, verse 9, and how that the Pharisee prays to himself, thinking he's praying to God, but he's really just impressing himself. And the publican says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus is pointing out the fact that publican is more paid attention to than the Pharisee by God. You get to chapter 19, and you look at Luke chapter 19, and it says in verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. That means he was the worst of the bunch. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich because the publicans would skim off the top, and they'd double charge for the taxes, and they would take extra and cheat, and they were known for that. But no one could prove it. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Here's this short guy. He climbs up a tree because he's curious about this Jesus. And he's sitting in the tree looking at him. And even though he's rich, he obviously isn't satisfied because he's curious about Jesus. And he's in the tree staring at Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus does something kind of unusual. He stops and looks up at the tree. He didn't expect him to look up at him. But Jesus looked up at him because Jesus knew he was in the tree. Zacchaeus had no idea that Jesus knew he was in the tree. Zacchaeus probably figured, no one will see me. Jesus will never see me up here. But Jesus stops and looks straight at him in the tree. Not only that, he calls him out by name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Remember where we started in Luke chapter 15. They were just always shocked that he wanted to be around the publicans and the sinners. Why? Because he saw treasure where other people saw trash. He saw that amongst them, there were people who would get saved if they just had the opportunity. Verse 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You want to eat at my house? Nobody else does. You want to have something to do with me? They all murmured. Verse 7, he's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. But why did he go? Because he wanted to reach him. Not to hobnob with him in his sin, but he wanted to reach him. To save him. Verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know why he couldn't do that for the Pharisees? I'll tell you why. It's real simple as we go to Luke chapter 5. You know why Jesus could save Zacchaeus but not the Pharisees? Because Zacchaeus understood something about himself. Zacchaeus knew he was lost. Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner. In fact, he stood up and said, I'll return fourfold what I've stolen. The Pharisees would never admit they ever stole anything. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 27, Jesus, after these things, went forth and saw a publican named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Now listen to the answer. Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. In other words, you think you're healthy, you don't need a doctor. Verse 32, I came not to call the righteous. And if the Bible had quotation marks, there'd be quotations around the word righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Reason why I can't call you to get saved is because you don't need it. Ha ha ha. You think you are okay the way you are. The reason why the publicans are such a joy to be around is because there's a lot of them that know they're sinners. And they want to be saved. And they want to be changed. And to be made whole. He looks for treasure. To others, it just looks like trash. He even in Matthew 15 went up out of Israel, up north into Canaan, and talked to a woman. In fact, he even referred to her as a dog. And yet he saved her and granted her prayer to prove that he'll go to anywhere that will receive him. And he looks for the treasure, which to others looks like the trash. Going back then to what we were talking about earlier in Luke chapter 15, let's read it a little bit slower and just look at what it says. Luke 15 and verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And then verse 7, notice carefully, I say unto you, that likewise, just like that story, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99, quote unquote, just persons, which need no repentance. About a month ago now, Ross came on a Monday night and got saved, trusted Christ as his Savior. You couldn't hear it, but you know what heaven was doing? Woo-hoo! They were rejoicing. It says right there, they were rejoicing. They were excited. They were, I don't know if they had a choir or not, but they were just warming up in the choir and singing and shouting and praising the Lord because another person got saved. You couldn't see it a few weeks ago when that young lady at Anchor Club bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. To a lot of adults in our busy world, it was like, oh really? Oh, I hope so. Well, yeah, that's nice. But in heaven, it was rejoicing. It was excitement. Lexi sitting back there was here in January, and I think she surprised maybe her family and said, I don't really think I'm saved. Got saved. Guess what? Her family rejoiced. Her grandmother rejoiced. I know that. And heaven rejoiced. That's a way bigger deal than anything we can do down here on earth. It just is. Heaven doesn't rejoice at elections. I can't find it in the Bible. But heaven, stop. Everyone, stop. Hold it. Time out. Another one just got found. Woo! See, I'd rather just make heaven excited than temporary excitement here on earth. We need to recognize the importance of, there are lost people out there. Wilma and I and Uriah were together yesterday, and we were knocking on doors, and, you know, we met some people that are, they're hurting. They're not necessarily opposed, but their heart is broken. And they're hurting. They've got issues and needs. And Wilma came back to the car and said, well, that individual just seems so needy, and they were listening, but probably maybe they're, oh, I would never be welcome at that church. You know, just because, or their spouse has been put into a nursing home because they have dementia, and their heart's just absolutely broken. Their whole life is just crushed, brokenhearted. There are people out there that are hurting and they're lost. There are people out there that are argumentative and self-righteous. Someone else was telling me yesterday they were talking to a lady who was a Jehovah's Witness. And they were talking to her and explained to her from the Word of God what the Bible says about heaven and hell. And oh, I don't believe in hell. Well, we do. That's why we're here. And even though that conversation didn't turn into them saying, well, I need to get saved then, don't ever think that after the door is closed and you walk away that they're not still thinking about that conversation. Woman, I walked up to an elderly man, and I did not expect this, but as we got closer, and I said, sir, we're from the church across the highway there, and I don't want anything you've got. I don't believe in any of it. He's an elderly man. Older than Bob. I mean, really old. And I said, well, I said, I believe it. That's why I'm here. He said, well, I don't. But, you know, he softened up and we talked, and I didn't get to leave him anything. But at least he knows that we believe what we say we believe, and that's why we're talking to him. And let me say something. The world might call it trash, but God would love to take trash and turn it to treasure. I would love for the Lord to take more pieces of trash and turn them into a beautiful trophy of His grace so that He would get the glory and people would say, have you seen the turnaround in so-and-so? Have you seen what God has done? That He would get the glory. What an awesome thing. And when you got saved, and I assume most everybody in this room is saved, when you got saved, heaven got excited. You might say, well, I don't think anybody... Listen, heaven stopped and said, let's throw another celebration. They just got saved. You mean something to Him. The value of one. It says in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Just one sinner stops heaven and they rejoice over what's going on. And so then, let's go back to, this time, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Hey, we don't want these little kids here. He's busy. He's important. We don't want kids here. Stop. Hey, get out of here. Verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto his disciples, unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. By the way, the word suffer is different than the word allow. In the Old Testament, or when Jesus refers to the Old Testament and he says, Moses suffered you a bill of divorcement, it was not saying that he allowed it or okayed it. He just suffered it because of how messed up your life is. It's not right, but it is a suffrage. And I notice it does. Jesus didn't say, allow the little children to come. He said, suffer the little children. You know why? Because if you've ever dealt with children, sometimes it is suffering. I deal with a lot. And sometimes it's like, whoo. Sometimes you just want to go, bow. You know what I mean? And sometimes the Holy Spirit of God says, hey. You're getting a little too big for your britches. I died for them too. In this town, there are some children who all live in the same home. There's one man, and there's two sisters, and the two sisters are the mothers of all the kids with one father. And those little kids have nothing to do with that other than that they are the result of that. At Anchor Club, without fail, there's going to be children here. In Vacation Bible School, there will be children here who don't even know who their parent is. There's lots of those things and backgrounds to those stories. And there are children that will just, I drive a school bus, and they'll just get free food from the do-gooders at the school, and they'll get on the bus, and then they'll open up the pudding and eat a couple bites, turn it upside down, and squish it all over the floor. That's why it says, suffer the little children to come unto me. That's why it says that. Because you want to go, yeah, let me take that pudding and just give it to your face. And I get the disciples because based on what kind of day of the week it was and what kind of mood I was in, I'd be one of the, whoa. Don't bring in that snide-nosed kid over here. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, hold it. Suffer them to come unto me. I know their irritation, but you suffer them anyway. And oh, by the way, Peter, you should have seen yourself when you was a kid. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Last year, almost exactly a year ago, it was the Anchor Club trip. We went to Rushmore Cave. And I said, do not take your open pop in the van. Don't take it in the van. One of our older Anchor Clubbers went into the van, had the pop in their hand, and somehow managed to sling it all over the van. This person doesn't normally do stuff like that. And I was gripping the steering wheel as I realized there is soda all over the van floor. And I wanted to really chew on this girl, and I realized, nope. Every other week she bounces from one house to the next house. She doesn't need to be yelled at. I can see by the look on her face she's already really sorry it happened. And I wanted to give a lecture about why we don't do this and why we, but I had to learn, suffer. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. There is great rejoicing in heaven every time one lost soul is found. And if you'll suffer long enough, you'll get blessed. If you'll suffer long enough, you'll start to see blessings. If you'll be willing to suffer, and with Vacation Bible School, you might say that children, they just really drive me crazy. Guess what? You drive God crazy. Several years ago, it's been at least four years. We had a group of girls come in, and they came through BBS, and it was quite a group of girls, and of course, they were all in grade school. Now, a lot of them are in middle school or high school, but they were in grade school at the time and young elementary, and amongst them, a few of them, they got saved. They went to camp. We got them to go to camp with us, and they got saved, and then we didn't see them after that, and a year later, they came back to Vacation Bible School, and after that, they just started coming, and they started showing up to Anchor Club, and now they come all the time, and they're sitting on the second row, and one of them led the other girl to the Lord 2 weeks ago. That's pretty cool. Now, they're still goobers, and I still suffer with them. But that's pretty cool. The value of each and every one. Since we've been talking about politics tonight, did you know that even Democrats are loved by God? Did you know that He even died for them too? Did you know in the middle of your argument about all that stuff that He still wants them to go to heaven? There's great rejoicing every time one lost soul is found. Why? Because hell is real. And nobody in here has ever died for anybody. Yet, give an innocent life for anybody. And He gave the precious blood to pay for every soul, young and old alike. Praise God for it. When my friend Larry got saved a few years ago, there was rejoicing in heaven when he and his girlfriend there got saved. There was rejoicing in heaven. Maybe some of the angels said, "Can you believe that?" There's rejoicing every time someone gets saved, old or young. Praise God. Saved on their deathbed, saved wherever. They're just rejoicing every time. The value of each and every one. Just because they don't always please me doesn't mean I'm not still suffering them. I hope that you will see the importance of the soul, the value of every soul. Not the material value, but the eternal value of every soul. Let's sing a song before we close in prayer tonight.